Mieke Midi! Zurück die Gemorre, Tapuf Lame Wawa und Beis Meseches Gitten. Mieke Midi, die mit der Eisel Misham zu schwierst. How could it be, the Gemorre just suggested, that Shmita Bezman Azez, not the Eisel, the Minotaur, there's no such thing as Shmita Tzafim. Okay, that's conceivable. Except that we know that there is a din of Shmita Tzafim in Bezman Azez, and that's what Prozbul is acting upon. And the Gemara says, yeah, well, that's Rabbanan. To which the Gemara is horrified. How could it be that Chazal created Shemitah's Ksafim? Midrabbanan. How could it be that Chazal canceled people's debts? Abaye says, Sheval Tasu. Not shiny. That is an example of Sheval Tasu. So we spend some time thinking about that. Rava says, no. Hefker Bezdin Haya Hefker. If Bezdin makes something Hefker, that would be Hefker. That's probably the way to translate the Haya. Not it was, but it's a subjunctive. Hefker Bezdin would be Hefker. Were Bezdin to make something Hefker, it would indeed be Hefker. Gemara goes on to quote two psukim. The Amr of Yitzchak, Binayin Shehefker Bezdin Haya Hefker. Yitzchak said, how do you know this principle of Hefker, Bezdin, Hefker? That's the way we usually say it. We usually say it without the Haya. Shadeh Amar, Yitzchak quotes a pasuk in Ezra. V'chol shelo yavo l'shloshes hayavim katsas hasurim v'hazakenim. They call a meeting. Everyone is supposed to come. The whole Jewish community is supposed to come. Fascinating background. And they want to make sure everyone's coming to the meeting. So they added some teeth to the announcement. They said, if you don't show up to the meeting, which is being called at the behest of the Sarim and the Zakenim, Yocharam kol rechusho, all of your assets will be stripped from you, will be in Cherim, v'hu yibadel mikahal ha'gola, and the person himself will be ostracized from the community. Ezra was taking no prisoners. So he's making it very clear, I expect everyone's attendance, under pain of personal ostracism and loss of your property. Yeah. So that pasuk in Ezra is Rav Yitzchak's source for Hefker Beis and Hefker. By what right does Ezra say Yacharam kol rechusho? Oh, where did that knas come from? The answer is Beis and has, as the pasuk stresses, Batzas harsarim vazakenim. Beis and has the right to declare that property is no longer yours. Bezin can be mafker your property. You can be mafker your own property, that we already know, perhaps actually from the parshas of Shemitah, Ashvi's Teshmeteno Natashta, the notion of a personal hefker. And here we're saying there's a notion of a Bezin driven hefker. Bezin can be mafker my assets. Not only can I be mafker my own assets. Rabbi Lezer says, or Belazar, different yourselves, a different source. A pasuk in Yeshua, Eile ha-nachal osa she-nochalu el-azar ha-kohen v-Yeshua ben-nun v-roshay ha-avos. Torah says that the psukim Yeshua describing what the Torah prescribed. Torah prescribed you come into Eretz Yisrael, you're going to conquer Eretz Yisrael, and then you're going to divvy it up among the Shvatim and divvy it up further among individual people. So the psukim say that is indeed what they did. That after conquest, after kibush, there was chiluk. Chiluk into Shvatim, and the Pasuk describes it in Sefer Yoshua as either the Nachalos that were given out, the inheritances that were given out by Yoshua, who was the leader of Klal Yisrael, successor to Moshe Rabbeinu, Elazar HaKohen, second Kohen Gadol, successor to his father Aaron, and the Roshei HaAvos, the heads of the fathers. Heads of the fathers. What does that mean? The head means the Roshei Beis Avos, in the Siyam. In the Siyam of the Shvatim, or the heads of the Beis, Bateav. Right? The heads of the Avos is an awkward type of phrasing. You understand what it means, but it's an odd phrasing. So the Gemara is a drasha. Chimayin Roshim Eitzel Avos. What are the Roshim doing next to the Avos? The Roshei HaAvos. Lomar Lecha. And it's probably in the context also of the opening term, which was Eile HaNachal Sesha Nochalu, which itself is interesting. Where Yeshua was giving out inheritance. Yeshua wasn't the parent of Klal Yisrael. He wasn't bequeathing anything to them, meaning he was divvying up the land that would then become inheritance. So the use of the term Nachala is intriguing, and then the use of the term Rashei Ha'avos to mean the leaders of Klal Yisrael is also curious. So the Gemara is a drasha. That we're making a hekesh of avos to Russian. Hekesh when you have two items in the same pasuk. So you have a parent and a head of state or a head of a group of Klal Yisrael in the same pasuk. They tell you just like a literal parent. Ma avos manchil mez b'neim kol mashiyirtu av Russian machil mez b'neim machil ha'am kol mashiyirtu. Just like the father gives inheritance to his children, so the Rashi Ha'am, the Bezin, can give out property to the people. Okay. Well, maybe we'll explore this psukim some more. But the Gemara says Rava's second answer to the question is Hefker Bez Nefker, based on two psukim. A couple of things are curious. Thing number three, which is Kasha number three, which we won't get to just yet, because we'll attack the kashas in forward order. Kasha number three, working backwards, is what's with the two psukim? Two psukim were curious. Initially, in B'chal, we have two psukim. Working backwards more. Question number two, you already raised. We'll get to that later, which is, why did Rav only give this tarot here? Why didn't Rav say earlier, Hefker Bez Nefker? Could have said that about the principle. Question number one, which we want to deal with right now, why is Abaye not saying Rava? Rava says Hefker Bez Nefker. He has psukim. It's a solid teretz. What's wrong with Rava? Why did Abaye need to disagree? We dealt earlier with why did Rava disagree with Abaye, and the answer to that is it's not so clear that this is Sheval Tasa. It's not so clear that Sheval Tasa is as attractive as Hefker Bez Nefker. Hefker Bez Nefker is very attractive. A bunch of psukim, a pair of psukim. What's wrong with Gevaldik? Why did Abaye not like Rava? What weakness could there be in Rava's tarot? So as we began to talk about this morning before Seder, we could ally that question of what's wrong with Rava, why did Abaye not like Rava, with the second question, which is the sugya in Makos, and specifically the strange, the curious approach of the Rush. Let's take a look at the Gemara together. I know some guys were having it's a naughty Gemara to read. Let's take a look. The context is Edom Zonin. That's why it's in the first paragraph of Makkos, because the first paragraph of Makkos is about Edom Zonin. Although this sugya, Edom Zonin is just the background. For our purposes, Edom Zonin is the background to one line in the Mishnah, which is going to be relevant for trying to solve this question in the world of Shemitah itself. You'll remember that the din of Edom Zomim, Torah says Edom are supposed to tell the truth, and we assume Edom are telling the truth. We trust and verify. Two people who seem to be honest, observant people show up to Bezin, so we'll accept their testimony. We will cross-examine, we will stress-test them, and we'll try to see if they corroborate, and if what they're saying makes sense and sounds right, and they sound honest, and if they do, okay, we check them out, Drishim Chakira, okay. Two Edom say the same thing. We accept their testimony. Let's say, the Torah says, we're ready to act on their testimony, and then it turns out that they are lying. And specifically, we catch them because they had said that they both said they witnessed a particular event at a particular time and place. Then it turns out that they were not even at that place at that time. Whatever the event might be. It might be a crime, or it might just be a business occurrence. It could be that they say they saw someone b'chal Shabbos. They saw someone commit a murder. They say they saw someone itreif, and therefore they claim that the defendant is chayiv misa, he's chayiv malchus, whatever it is. And then it turns out they claim they saw the fellow. They saw Reuven commit some crime yesterday, last Monday morning in Dallas. And then other Edom show up and say, you spent all of Sunday, Monday, Tuesday with us at a conference in South Africa. There's no way that you saw anything happen in Dallas. Okay? Imanu Ha'isa. So now we call those, that first pair of Edom, Zolomon. We caught them. They weren't even there. Or, they don't say they saw a crime. They saw something of a Dine Mamanus significance. They claim that they saw Max lend Rami $20. They say they saw the loan occur. They saw the loan occur in New Rochelle last Wednesday. And then a second pair of Adim show up and say to the first pair of Adim, you weren't in New Rochelle last Wednesday. We were with you in Phoenix last Wednesday. So we're not even getting involved. We have no idea, the second pair of Adim said. We have no idea whether he did or didn't lend him the money. But we do know that you are not eligible you're not entitled to have an opinion. You're not eligible to be made because you weren't even there. You weren't there. So the din is, Pesukim say, the punishment for Eden Zolman is whatever they were trying to do. They came and were made that the first pair of Eden had said that Reuben is high Malchus for eating Basmachalot. The first pair of Eidim were made, the Reuben's Chayiv Misa for Chil Shabbos. Instead, the Eidim get Misa. The first pair of Eidim said that Reuben owes Shimon $1,000, and it turns out that they couldn't have seen it. So instead, they have to pay the $1,000. Okay, so that's Eidim Zolman 101. That's the basics. They said Reuben is chayiv something, an onesh or mamon, and it turns out that there was no basis for it whatsoever. There is no chayiv, so they get whatever the chayiv was. The Mishnah here talks about a more subtle case, where the second Mishnah, Gimel Aleph, is a case where we knew without these Eidim that Reuben owed the money. But these Eidim modified the details of the chayiv. All right, let's take a look. The second Mishnah, the first Mishnah is usually the one that gets all the focus. Torah this morning. The first Mishnah is the one with the incredibly long Rashi. Also about a subtle case, but we're looking at the subtle case in the second Mishnah. The Eidim came and said that we were witness to a loan. Reuven lent money to Shimon. And Shimon, and the agreement was Shimon's going to pay back in 30 days. V'hu omer, Shimon says, no, mikan vad eser shanim. Shimon says, I freely admit that I borrowed money from Reuven, but I totally disagree with you, the terms that you claim. Yes, I borrowed money from Reuven. Yes, I borrowed 1,000 zuz from Reuven. If I borrowed 1,000 zuz, it was a 10-year term. That was a 30-day term. It's a big difference. It's an enormous difference. Do I have another 9 years and 11 months to invest the money or not? So how are we going to eat this? How do you attack that? And then it turns out that the first pair of Eidim was Zolman. Right? They claim that they witnessed a loan that took place last Thursday. Shimon says, yes, I did borrow money last Thursday, but not with those terms that you claim. And then Shimon finds another pair of Eidim and say, we were with the first pair of Eidim at that time in a different place. So what's the Kasha Zama? What's the kasha zaman? It's not you want to make him pay $1,000, you pay $1,000. Shimon agrees that he owed $1,000. You just say he said he owes $1,000 in 10 years from now, not in 30 days from now. So that already gets you into what economists would call the time value of money. In other words, you're going to get your $1,000, but there's a reason why people borrow money. Like what? Why does anyone ever borrow money if you have to give it back? I'm not going to gain. Why does anyone ever borrow money? Well, because I'm going to do something with the money before I give it back. Right. So I'll borrow $1,000 from you, and then I'll have X amount of time to do things with $1,000. Maybe I'll invest, maybe I'll buy and I'll sell, I'll do whatever, I'll try to start a business. And then, in 10 years from now, I'll give you the money to the $1,000 back. But meanwhile, I had use of the $1,000, the time value of money. So that's one way of looking at time value of money. There are others also, but for now, stick with that. So... Let us give another way of looking at time value of money, which is the bond market. Now let's look from the lender's perspective. Right? I lent Elisha $1,000. Right? No. And he's going to pay me back in 6 months from now. I decide that I can actually use the $1,000. I can't ask him for it. He has another 5.5 months to go. So I might go to Gavriel and say, I'll sell you the loan. You'll pay me. You'll buy the loan from me. You'll pay me now. And you'll become the new creditor. Instead of him owing the money to me, at least you'll now owe the money to you, to Gavriel. So how does that deal work? I mean, he's not going to give me a... I'm not going to ask Gavriel for $1,000. Why would Gavriel pay me $1,000 for the $1,000 is only due in 5.5 months from now? But what Gavriel would do is he'll say, he'll pay me $800 now to be able to get the $1,000 in 5.5, 6 months from now. And he's going to discount the time value of money. $1,000 in 6 months from now might be worth $800 now. Not to figure out how you discount it. Okay, well, I'm getting into the details, but that's the concept. $1,000 later is worth $800 now. So that's the question. It's not that the aid, what were the kashar zama? What were the aid even trying to do to me? They weren't trying to make me pay $1,000. They weren't trying to make me owe $1,000. I do owe $1,000. That was true without the aid. What they were trying to do is make me owe the $1,000 sooner. So the Mishnah says, so now we have the cheshbon. What's the time value of $1,000 in 30 days from now versus time value of $1,000 in 10 years from now? Right? I gave you a 20% discount because of 6 months. If you had to wait 10 years from now, you wouldn't pay me $800. You had to wait 10 years from now, you would pay me, I don't know, $500, $400, $200. Right? So the Mishnah says, we have to start cheshbon time value. What's the margin of difference? Omdim, kama adam wrote to lita view biyado elav zuz. How much would you be willing to pay to extend the loan from 30 days to 10 years? Okay, so we're going to try to wrap our heads around calculating the subtle point of how much did the time value of the money change? I owed the money in 10 years from now. You, the Amazon, are trying to make me owe the money sooner. What was that? Can I put a dollar value on the change in the horizon of the loan? Okay, so we'll figure out what it's going to be. It'll be a couple $100. So that's how much. That was the loss that the Edim, Zoman, were trying to cause to the borrower. And therefore, they have to pay that amount of money. Not the $1,000, but the whatever we'll calculate. The $200, the $500, whatever it is. The obvious implication of the Mishnah, though, is that if I lend you money for 10 years, what happens in 10 years from now? I do have to pay back. I could get to wait 10 years. Obviously, when 10 years come and go, I do pay you back. If I didn't have to pay you at all, then the answer is they made me owe $1,000. The whole implication of the Mishnah is that we have to get into all this complexity, climb down the rabbit hole of time value of money, because either way, you owe $1,000, just a question of sooner or later. And that's what the Gemara is fascinated by, because 10 years is a long time. 10 years is so long that in higher mathematics, you've gone through at least one Shemitah. So, to Abraham said, 1 second, a 10-year loan. 10-year loan, Shemitah came and went. So what do you see from the Mishnah? See from the Mishnah that Shemitah comes and goes, but somehow the loan still survives. It's not a question of do you owe the money or not. It's not binary. It's more nuanced. Well, owe the money now, owe the money later. So let's take a look inside. Amar Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Hamalvis is version 1. First version of Shmuel is Hamalvis Haveir Le'eser Shonim Shviyas Misham Tatu. Now, if you want to be more colloquial, you can say Shviyas Misham Tasa. If Shmuel, if Yehuda quotes him as Rabbi Shmuel, Yehuda was a Talmud of both Rav and Shmuel, the two, Yehuda was the second generation Amor and Babel, Talmud of both of the first generation Amor and Babel, Rav and Shmuel. So here is quoting Shmuel, that make you a 10-year loan, Shvius does cancel the debt. It does cancel the debt. What's the, why not? Afa gav dehasha lo karinan de lo yigos, sof usli de lo yigos. He says, well, right now I can't say lo yigos, but in the end I will come to lo yigos. Meaning, when the Shmuel is explaining why would the debt... Why would the debt get canceled? Why would the debt not get canceled? Let's skip for a moment to a few lines down. We have the other version of
of Shmuel. Like six lines down. Ikadami Amar Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Amavus Chaveres Lesser Shanim Ain Shvius Misham Tater. Shmita does not cancel. Those are the two versions. The Lishna Kama, the Lishna Basra. The Lishna Kama Shmuel says Shvius Misham Etas. The Lishna Basra Shmuel says Ain Shvius Misham Etas. Everyone agrees that there is a notion of Shemitah's Ksafen. The question is, the Shemitah's Ksafen, the two versions in the Gemara, two different sets of Amoraim, had two different Masoros as to what Shmuel had said many, many decades or centuries before. The first version was Shmuel said that Shemitah does cancel. Second one said Shemitah doesn't cancel. In other words, everyone agrees that Shemitah's Ksafen exists. Everyone agrees that Shemitah's Ksafen exists and applies to a debt which is already due. If you owe me the money, if I lend you money, and we make up that you owed me the money next Sunday, which is before the end of Shas HaShemitah, if you don't get around to paying me over the course of next week, and then we hit Rosh Hashanah, everyone agrees, Rosh Hashanah comes, that loan, you can kiss it goodbye. It's gone. Shemitah canceled. But the Shaila is, let's say the loan is only due, I lend you money now, and you said, could I have until Hanukkah? I said, fine. Pay him back Hanukkah. Hanukkah comes, and now I say, Rebbe, you owe me the money. I give you a week. Hanukkah parties. After Hanukkah, I say, you know, you owe me the money a week ago. Now the question, what do you mean? But 3 months earlier was Shemitah. Yeah, but at the time that Shemitah hit, the last moment of Shnas HaShemitah, the loan wasn't collectible yet. So the Gemara says, the reason why you say Ein Shvius Misham Etes is because what language does the Torah use in talking about Shemitah? Lo Yigos. And we say, the Mitzvah says, the Mitzvah Lo says, say. The Mitzvah Lo says, Lo Yigos is right. You're not allowed to collect a Shemitah loan. So the Gemara says, maybe it's only if it otherwise would have been collectible. If the money's already due before Shnas HaShemitah and Shnas HaShemitah, so really you can collect it. Come Shemitah, oh, no, you can't collect it. Why? Because of Shemitah. But if the loan is only due Hanukkah, Malvus Chaveril Eser Shanim, the loan is going to be due years after Shemitah. So then you say, look, you couldn't, at the time of Shemitah, you couldn't collect anyway. Not because of Shemitah, you couldn't collect because it wasn't due yet. You can't collect. If I lend you money and say, pay back in a week, then I come to you tomorrow and say, Yosef, where's the money? And you say, it's not due yet. You say, yeah, but I lent the money. He says, yeah, but we made up on paying a week. You got no money to pay back before the due date. The Malva can't bother the loan before the due date. If he does, it's irrelevant. Bezin to laugh at him. It's not due yet. So that's why the second version of Shmuel says there's no lo yigos. The Torah said lo yigos. Only if you should be able to collect, but Shemitah says don't collect. And the first version, back on the top, that says Shemitah is Mishametas, Afal Gav, top line of the Gemara, Afal Gav, the Hashalokim really yigos, even though right now, when there's the last moment of Shemitah, when Shemitah's Ksafim should set in, right now you can't say Lo Yigos, because you can't say don't collect because of Shemitah, you don't collect anyways. But still, Sof, us the day Lo Yigos. In the end, in a month, 3 months from now, in a year from now, in 5 years, when it comes due, then I'll say, oh, you can't collect it then because of Shemitah. And the second verse says, no. There's no lo yigos, there's no lo yigos. As an aside, so what's the machlokas? And halacha, the machlokas is, does Shemitah cancel loans which are not yet due? The loan was made, the loan was extended, the malva gave the money to the lova, it's not yet due back. Does Shemitah cancel or not? That's the machlokas in the sugya. And it has to do with how you read lo yigos. I'm not sure that I can prove it to you. But maybe what the underlying lumdus here is, and it could be that's what the first Rashi in the Amud is saying, is when we first started Shemitah Ksafen, we said, there's a mitzvah say and a mitzvah lo say. The mitzvah say, Shamot, kabama shayda, let go of the loan, and the mitzvah lo say, don't collect. So, don't collect, the Gemara is saying, is only relevant once it's due. Before it's due, don't collect is irrelevant. Shamot would be relevant right away. It could be what the Gemara is saying is like this, that the first version understands that the mitzvah say and the mitzvah say are totally integrated with one another. If there's no lo yigos, then there's no shamot. And the second version is saying, no, they're dependent. There's no lo yigos right now, but there can still be a shamot. Still, like a yesod v'chiyuv lo go the loan, such that when the loan would come due, you'll say lo yigos then. I can't prove it, but I think that's what the simplest understanding of what's underpinning these two Lashonos and Shmuel. It is an impression that you get from the top Rashi as well. Be that as it may, let's continue the Gemara, and then we'll take this question directly. Yeah?
And the fact that the position of Kama has to use the fact that Legos will apply, and the fact that the Lishna of Basra has to use the fact that Lo Yigos doesn't apply right now, wouldn't that be mashma that both Shitas seem to agree on the fact that Lo Yigos and Shmita are connected. It's just how much does Lo Yigos apply right now if it will apply later?
Yeah. It could be, but then what's the issue? Why would I say yes or no?
If according to the Lishna Kama, if you made a loan, if you could make such a loan where Lo Yigos doesn't apply, then the loan would automatically.
I think both would agree that would not be canceled if Lo Yigos would not apply.
Something that never has Lo Yigos.
If you can make a loan, I don't know if this is what you're saying, but sometimes if you can make a loan that Lo Yigos would never apply, both would agree that Shmita would never apply. My focus is, does Lo Yigos apply
it,
now?
It could be. But you take a look at Rashi. In other words, but what's the mechanics? As the Gemara is saying, the question is, the ego doesn't apply now, will it still apply later? But I don't think that's the lambda. The nafkamina, the consequences, it doesn't apply later. Take a look at Rashi. Avagav da hashem b'shmi is lokim b'legos. Right now, when Shmi is his call, at the last moment of Shmita, lo yigos is irrelevant. Sharein imbol enough to beloshi is not any yochel. Even was a Shmita, I couldn't collect it now because it's not due yet. Lo amrinon, kevin lo kirim ve lo yigos lo kirim ve shamot. I don't say, well, since there's no lo yigos, there's no shamot either. But since there's no lav, therefore there's no say, in the end you will have lo yigos. So you're saying, no, the main point is how do you translate lo yigos? Does lo yigos mean right now? Lo yigos mean for the future? Could be.
The only reason why lo kirim ve lo yigos lo kirim ve shamot is because of, the reason why you don't say that is because lo yigos will eventually apply.
Could be. Right. So either a question of how you translate your ghost or a question of how you connect the two. Fair enough. Be that as it may, that's why I say Mei Merosh, it's a speculative. Could be, I can't prove it. I think it's Mashmal Sirashi, but fair. Maybe not. Be that as it may, there are two versions of what Shmuel, the first version of Shmuel, is that based on the Psukim, Shmita applies even to a not yet due loan. Rav Kahana attacked, what do you mean? Omdim kama our Mishnah. Omdim kama adam rotzei litviu el zuz biyado. May litim mikana lamin yamin litim mikana eser shanim. Our Mishnah makos. So the first version has Rav Kahana is asking it as a kasha. He says, but the Mishnah in makos implies that ain't Mishnah makos. That in 10 years from now you will owe the money. If Shmita cancels a loan that's not yet due, so then a 10-year loan is zero. So then the answer is very simple. He's going to have to pay a full 1,000 zuz. And then Rava answers. Rava gives a teretz. No. He says, I'll accept Shmuel. Shmuel's fine. Shmita is mishametas. The Mishnah is an exceptional case. Normally, Shmita, hold on one second. Our Rabbi Hachmai is given milk from Malva Lamashkon, but Moshe Sharos Lebezdin. Rabbi says, no, our Mishnah is not a proof to anything. Everyone agrees that the Mishnais and Shmitas tell us there are loans that are Shmita proof. There are loans that Shmita doesn't apply to for other reasons. If you had a mashkon, the Shmita doesn't apply. If you handed over the shtar to Beis Din, Shmita doesn't apply. So Rava says, who's to say that our Mishnah is talking about every loan? Maybe you're right. Maybe most loans do disappear in less than 10 years. But our Mishnah is talking about a case where it works. You gave a ma'ir, and it makes sense. You want to make a 10-year loan, the good reason is to take a mashkan, because you want the loan to survive. So that's version number one. The Shmuel said Shemitah does cancel the long-term loan. Rav Kana said, I, the Mishnah's mashma lehepach. And Rava said, don't worry about our Mishnah, maybe our Mishnah is an exception. The second Lashon starts from the opposite place and then works its way through. Ikad Amri Yehud and Shmuel, second version, Lishna Basra, Hamar was Chaver al Esther Shanim, Ein Shvius Misham Tazim. The second version of Shmuel said, no, Shemitah does not apply. Alpha Gav Dasi De Ligos, in the future, Ligos will be meaningful. The Hashtami Lokim Ligos, but it's not relevant right now. Okay, so the opposite starting point. In which case, Rav Kahana, in the second version, Rav Kahana is bringing a raya. It's a raya of Rav Kahana instead of a kasha. A raya of Rav Kahana is a Mishnah, which says, yeah, aim Mishametis, Gevaldin. That's exactly what, in the second version, that's exactly what Shmuel said. Rav Kahana brings the Mishnah as a raya. Amr of Kahana, Afan, Anami, Tini, we also learned this way in the Mishnah, Gevaldin. Or he says same point, but now in support of Shmuel. If you would say Shmuel destroys the loan, kulu namu bo shalume. And then Rava responds the same as in the first version that the Mishnah is not relevant. And now instead it's. Right. It's Rav is being the Salik, the Rai. We're making the same point. That maybe the Mishnah is exceptional. Okay. So that's the Gemara. Just, number one, just to clarify what in zone is, what the Mishnah is saying, what the Gemara is saying. And once the Shach V'Tar is clear, so then you realize that you are now left with a big question, Halacha L'maisa. And that is an enormous question, Halacha L'maisa. Because a very significant percentage of loans are going to pass through Shemitah without being due. Most loans are not three-day loans. Most significant loans are long-term. So you have plenty of loans of all the Jew-to-Jew loans out there. Shemitah is coming to end soon. Rosh Hashanah is coming, as I said. Rosh Hashanah is coming, Yom HaDin. And for the moment before Yom HaDin, the Shemitah is suffering. But of all the loans out there, how many of them made between Jews, how many of them are susceptible to Shemitah? A good percentage of them are out there but not yet due. How many loans are already due but not yet paid? Versus how many loans are not yet due? A lot of loans, because again, you hope that once loans are due, people pay. So how many loans are going to be due but not yet paid versus how many loans are not yet due? A lot of loans, maybe most loans, that are in existence at the moment of the end of Shemitah are not yet due. So it's a massive nafkamina lahalacha. Does Shemitah cancel those loans or not? In Lishna Kama, Shmuel says, yes, it cancels the loans. In Lishna Basra, Shmuel says, no, it doesn't cancel loans. Only loans that are already collectible are canceled. The first version was it doesn't have to be collectible, it has to exist. The loan has to exist. That's a big... Big Shai Alach, it's all done.
Could you possibly read Rav Kahana in the second lesson as a kasha of Tanina? I know he says Af Anu Nami Tanina, but normally Tanina is a kasha, and then Rava is being misalik the kasha.
Could be. He said, why Shmuel have to say it?
Yeah.
Why Shmuel have to make the point? Isn't it a Mishnah? Maybe. But Shmuel is definitely making it much clearer than the Mishnah. It could be. And at this point, we're no longer dealing with whether the din is correct. We're just dealing with, did Shmuel need to formulate or not? Okay, fair. That's actually, we may see from something we've shown them. And they did in their dealing with Psak Halacha, perhaps. Keep our eyes open. Psak Halacha is where the Rishonim go. Because the last you have to do, so the Gemara doesn't give maskan. So you saw the Tosfos, that teeny tiny Tosfos on the top of the Gemara Beis, the Rabbeinu Tam is very brief. He says, Halacha Lishna Basra. Masnisa Misailate. The Mishnah supports it. The Mishnah supports it. By the way, that's not what he doesn't seem to be bothered by that. If anything, the fact that the Mishnah supports it, in other words, Rav Kahana in both versions made the point that the Mishnah sounds the Ein Shvias Mishametas. Rava figured out a way to get out of it. Okay. And in the first Lashon, the Taka was a problem. The Kashu Lashon Kama. In the first Lashon, the Mishnah was a problem. So Rava gave a Teretz. Okay, maybe the Teretz wasn't particularly appealing. Tosis sounds like. And Uva Azharos, Higir Ben Otam. Rabbeinu Tam made an edit in the Azharos. Zman Eser Ki Yalvenu. Lo B'Mishpat B'Chatziyam Av Yazvenu. You just learned Tosis, you're not really sure what just happened. But some poetry at the end of Tosis. That's supposed to be somehow what's going on. Okay. What is going on? So number one, let's look at a contemporary of Rabbeinu Tam's for a moment. A contemporary Rabbeinu Tam who also took a stand on this is the Rambam. The Rambam writes, how would I know how to find the Rambam? How do I know where I want to see how the Rambam passes? How do I know how to find the Rambam? Hey, Mishmar Emetz, right? The little letters. On Gimel. Ein Shvius Misham Tatu. In other words, the fact that the letter is there usually means that that's how we pass it, because that's the part that's being quoted. But I look at the little letter Gimel. Maimini Sham Halachates. That's Hilcha Shemita Paraktas Halachates. And you open it up and look at that. It happens to be your Mamma Kamas booklet. Just happened to find it there. And indeed, here we go. Perek Tes, Halacha Tes. Perek Tes is the perek about Shizu Selfim. Halacha Tes, Malvus Chaver, Kavalos Man Le'aser Shonim. Eino Mishamei. Afa Pishu, Bala De'lo Yigos. Harei U'ate Eriochalin Gos. So what's Ram telling me? You pass him what?
In a Mishamei.
Passing like the Lishna Basra. It's worth noting that this is, you may already know, or else you will come to know, this is classic Rambam style. He does not, deliberately, the Mishnah Torah doesn't give you a lot of shock of attire. The Mishnah Torah doesn't give you names. He doesn't tell you a Pasak the Lishna Basra. He just says, the din is ancient Mishnah Tasa. Now, in fact, even the fact they spoke about Loigos is a little bit uncharacteristic. He just says, here's the din. Rabbeinu Tam already said the same thing. Rabbeinu Tam was again involved somewhat in the back and forth. Rabbeinu Tam, though, it was the way Tosis quoted was very clipped. They weren't really 100% sure what he did make it clear that Rabbeinu Tam did make it clear that he thinks the Mashmos, the Mishnah, the second version had arrived from a Mishnah. The first version had a kasha from the Mishnah. And he gave a teretz, but the implication is he was more taken by the kasha than the teretz. And that line about the Azaras. Next time, we'll take a look together at the Rush. Tosis and Bava Basra is more expensive than Tosis and Makas. And the Rush and Makas is also more expensive. We'll take a look. We'll see who argues. We'll see the Rush's shot with their approach. And we'll go from there. Enjoy your lunch, Trevor. What?